If Murray has supported the show, I'd be less sick of podcasts.
The Blubbity Blah.
Sending out good vibes.
Good vibes. Utter deep breaths of deep gratitude and prayers for guidance and protection. And put on a didgeridoo and shamanic drumming track. Shivers or vibrations and stuff like that.
America.
Are you going to start it, Brad?
You want me to start it?
Yeah.
Well, welcome to Grime America. We've got Brandon Powell and Dave Matheson with us. And of course, Darren Grimes, the host with the most.
The hostess.
We're going to be talking about Serpent Mound coming up in about a month and a half in Ohio, the solstice, because these guys are going to be here, be with us.
I expected you to open it like an interview. Yes. But we didn't really talk about what we were going to do. Anyway. Yeah, we're doing the solstice, kind of a kickback to the last time we did an event with you guys was probably because you guys weren't in California, so it must have been
Utah,
Duck Creek, Utah, with all the snow, right? The 28 feet of snow.
That was the big snow one.
Yeah.
Where he went snow machine in, and a couple guys did the Angel Falls hike and fucked themselves up. I haven't seen Bruce at an event since he did that hike. I'm pretty sure that like broke him and he's never come back. He says it hasn't, but that's my working theory. He did that hike. He was complaining about his knee. We've never seen him again.
I blame the organizers.
Fuck. It could be. Maybe he just hates contact at the cabin. I mean, most people do seem to enjoy it though. We got Dave back from Australia. It's been hard to work with Dave because he's been on the other side of the planet. But you're back. You're back.
Great to be back with you guys. Looking forward to seeing you guys again. Looking forward to ice baths with Brandon. Crazy. While I lived in Australia, I came back for the total eclipse in Texas, Utopia.
Yeah, that's right. 2 years ago now. Brandon wasn't there for that, though, were you?
No. Last time I saw you guys was up in Canada at the Canada CAC.
Was that last year?
That was a lot of fun, though.
Did we do one last fall?
No, it wasn't last year.
No, because we had the Azores. That's right. The last time we seen you was at Paradigm Symposium. What's it called, Graham?
Cosmic Summit?
Cosmic Summit with the fake. Oh, was it the?
Yes, that is true. That is the last time we saw each other. That was special, man. I tell everybody about that event, man. That fake baby thing was, I don't know, really changed the way that I perceive just about everything.
It was great.
Humanity in general.
We got you super baked, and then just dropped you into it.
I remember walking into the hotel and some guy's walking out and he's like, he's talking on the phone. He's like, you wouldn't fucking believe what is going on. It's like all these people with fake babies everywhere.
It was pretty special.
I mean, it's better when you get introduced to it when you don't know and you look down, there's a little baby looking at you. So you kind of smile and wink and then you think something's a little off. It's like uncanny valley-ish. And then you realize afterwards that it wasn't a real baby.
Dude,
it's something most people see like a couple times in their lifetime, you know, a fake baby enthusiast. But we just happen to be at the convention of the fake baby enthusiast. So it's like, it's unsettling, you know. You could handle one in the wild on their own. You wouldn't really notice it. You wouldn't even really think anything of it. But when you get them all together, it's like an episode of Black Mirror. But that was the last time.
When?
Dave's been gone for 3 years. You guys are back. We're going to do an event. How is Australia, Dave?
Australia is amazing. Australia is another planet all to itself. It's the people are great. Senses of humor are great. The nature down there is amazing. You got kangaroos and kookaburras all over the place. Snakes. All the snakes are deadly. Amazing. Just mountains and deserts and outbacks. And they have tropical forests that are like tree ferns and mountain ash. Just and little red parrots flying around, and it's beautiful. It's a amazing, beautiful place.
But you came back.
I did, yeah. I'm back closer to my parents, family. Ksenia's back with me, but kind of helping out my family, and back where I grew up in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, California. And there's something about kind of the smell of the air where you grew up. You just, when you come back, you notice it. You're like, I miss that. Anyway.
Miss mold.
Yeah, there's that too. There was a smell of that. And the stars are also, so they're amazing in Australia, but they're disconcerting because, as you guys pointed out from your trip to Easter Island, they're upside down. Upside down, and you can see the Southern Cross and you can see the South Celestial Pole, but it's good also to be back to the familiar skies of the California Northern Hemisphere. Yeah.
Bruce is in the chat.
For all the flat earthers out.
He says that he was at the gorge and the eclipse, so I guess I was mistaken on that. Once that clarified, he actually texted me as well. So sorry, Brandon, go ahead. What have you been up to? I guess I haven't seen you in technically a year and a half-ish, because the Cosmic Summit was pretty quick. Well, we went out after and hung out at that cabin, but we haven't done anything like event-like.
Yeah, everything's good. Lots of training, lots of ice baths. Same old, same old. I will say the Iceman, who I was just recently with out in San Diego, he's living in Australia nowadays, Dave. He has a little family down there. They're doing their thing in Australia.
Awesome.
So haven't seen him in a while. Got to spend a weekend with him, helping him with an event in San Diego. And we've just, you know, life keeps on kicking, man. I'm looking forward to getting out to the snake mound, or the serpent mound, and being with the crew again. It's always a blast. Such great events.
This will be the first one that you get to drive to. So can we expect anything special since you're driving and not flying, and you can maybe bring some hometown stuff?
Yeah, I'm going to bring all my toys. I'll bring all the equipment, music equipment, and we'll be bringing things for the ice baths. I'm bringing the fam this year too. So bringing the kiddos. This will be the first time that they've gotten to experience everything, and they're all about it now. They're explorers in their own rights. So they're stoked. My little guy, who's going to be turning 10 the day after. Well, he actually turns 10. Maybe the solstice is the 20. What is the solstice? The 22nd. So his birthday is the 24th. And so he sees it as just a big party for him. And so we'll christen them and bring them into the fold. Wife is coming too. So, yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for everybody to get to meet, be on my best behavior. Even though I'll be with Darren, it's tough, but I'll do my best.
I'm pretty well behaved. Hey, you're talking to someone who's the I could be, some could think of me as a descendant in the line of kings of Rapa Nui. Got the king staff back here. So, anyway.
I saw that, man. How was that trip?
That trip was good. It was a lot of flying, but it was good. I'm kind of looking forward to this one being very, you know, quick in comparison. It's like just a half a day of travel and you're there. It's going to seem like magic almost after trying to get to Easter Island. And then the one before that was Azores, which was also a bit of a nightmare. So I'm looking forward to just a quick sort of bam, bam, there, 4 days back. Don't really have to settle into it quite as much. But, I mean, and to see you guys. I haven't seen you guys in a while. You guys haven't seen each other in a while. It's a good crowd too. Not that all the crowds aren't good. We attract a great bunch of people, but this one and the Canyon one that we do, they just have that, they're cheap to get into. You know, you can get in the door for a few $100 and just makes it sort of more accessible to a bunch of people. There's some spots left for that. There's some camping spots and a private room opened up because someone had to cancel. So few spots available. Contact at thecabin.com. Brandon, you were telling us about the Serpent Man before we started up. Do you want to pick that up again? Because I don't know a ton about the Serpent Mound, other than it looks like a snake and it's facing the solstice.
Yeah, so from everything that I've read, the Serpent Mound, well, the date that most agree on is around maybe 1,000 years ago. But if you're a fan of the show and you're familiar with Randall's work and Graham's work, you'll know that what they talk about as far as Younger Dryas and the solstice seems to be, the sun seems to be slightly offset now from the mouth of the serpent. And it seems that if you were to line it up with about 10,800 years ago, it should be in perfect alignment. So there is the theory, and I'm hesitant to say this because Graham was banned from the Serpent Mound, but there is a theory that this Serpent Mound may be a lot older than what is thought to be the exact age. There's many different theories because there are burial mounds that are fairly close that the Serpent Mound may be connected to people that were, well, I should say that with several groups of people that have consistently built upon it, because there are several different alignments that occur, not just the mouth, but also the different waves within the serpent's body, lining up with not just the solstice, but with the equinox as well. I have read that the Cherokee believe that there was a magnificent garden there, and that they believe that the serpent is a representation of the biblical serpent, and that they point to this idea that there was maybe a Garden of Eden type of scenario there. I find that interesting that the Cherokee bring that story. There is also a obelisk that used to sit right in the center of the egg. You know, if you see the Serpent Mound, there is a mouth and then an egg shape that seems to be coming into the mouth or from the mouth. And there was an obelisk there that potentially points to stone builders. I watched a documentary that was trying to connect it to serpent mounds that exist also in Scotland and potentially a few other places around the globe. So it's fascinating. someone pushed the obelisk from the center and right at the, on the very back side of the egg. So let's say the farthest point out, there is a drop off, a cliff where two streams seem to converge. And it looks like they pushed the obelisk off the mound, and the obelisk now sits down at the base of this cliff. And there is a walkway that we can walk down to and see the obelisk. So that'll be fascinating to kind of see that. And it is interesting that that was placed there. And maybe as some type of compass, you know, that lines up again with the solstice. And so I it's a mystery to me. I've really been researching it in regards to this trip. So I'm interested to keep researching, keep reading everything I can about it, and then experience the power of the Serpent Mound.
What about you, Dave? You got anything to add to that?
No, that was great. So I just want to ask Brandon, did you say Graham, you meaning Graham Hancock, was, quote, banned from the Serpent Mound?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, because I was there with, the last time I was at, or the only time I've been to Serpent Mound was in 2017.
Easy on the mic string.
With Graham Hancock. Can you hear me?
Yeah, but when you pull the string around your shirt, it's making a crazy sound.
Oh, sorry. Here it is. There it is. That in there. Yeah, I was at Serpent Mound in 2017 for the solstice with Graham Hancock. He was still working on his research for America Before, and he gave a presentation. I gave a presentation. We were there for the solstice. And
can I ask, is that where he was flying the drone? Because I know they got pictures from a drone.
Yeah, I think that's the drone. That's the drone imagery from 2017. So it's almost 10 years ago, 9 years ago now. You know, I actually, so I did prepare a little presentation. I've got a presentation that shows some of the stars, but also a couple of these articles. Let me just quickly share the screen.
Because you're going to say it was your drone and you're the one that got off the mound.
No.
Well, I'm totally worried.
It was an ideological.
Yeah.
I'm worried I'm going to get kicked out of Serpent Mound now because of my presentation might get me in trouble.
Well, you know, you're, so this is, look, it's a sensitive subject.
You're native, Darren. You're native.
I was going to say, I did prepare a little presentation. So solstice this year is June 21st. It's at like 1:36 a.m. I'll get the exact time out, but I can show for all the viewers exactly what solstice means and what equinox means using the planetarium real quick, if you guys want. I can show some of the background stars, but I also pulled up a couple of articles that just talk to this controversy. I wasn't aware that Graham Hancock had been, quote, banned, or who has the authority to ban, like, can someone ban me from the Bay Area? Like, who?
UNESCO probably could ban you from UNESCO. All their sites.
Oh, man. Do you imagine getting banned from all the UNESCO sites? That's
God. Well, okay, so I wasn't actually aware that I've been out, you know, I've just been out hanging out in Australia, out of the loop. But I was there 9 years ago, and I didn't see anybody attacking Graham or being in his face or anything. Actually, it was just around the time that he had this bad, he had a bad health issue right around that time. It was either right before or right after. I think it was right before. It's been 9 years now, so I've kind of forgotten all the details, but it was a magical experience to be there. I got to walk around, talk to Ross Hamilton, Graham, all the Jeff Wilson and Delsey Wilson who live there, and they're part of the, they have an organization that's, you know, related to the Serpent Mound. So I pulled up a couple articles about this controversy that I'll share real quick because, you know, not wanting to get banned either. How do I share that? Oh, geez. Chrome tab, select a tab, entire screen. Let's share my entire screen. Share. Okay.
Well, I'm presenting at noon on the 21st, so my presentation might end right on the solstice.
No, it's like 1 a.m. Pacific time, so it'll be like 3 a.m. So solstice, obviously. Yeah, but well, the sunset is when it aligns, but the actual moment of solstice or equinox has to do with the sun's declination in the heavens. But let me just quickly, now I've got the background. Here's what it'll look like at the Serpent Mound at the sunset on the 21st. And you can see that's not the actual Serpent Mound on the planetarium. I've pasted it in there with a little bit of my primitive photoshopping skills, but that is the horizon from the latitude of Serpent Mound and the longitude of Serpent Mound on the 21st of this year, as the sun is going down at 7:15, it will be lined up with the head of the serpent. So there's where the sun will be going down, or a little bit off. You know, Brandon, the whole dating of the Serpent Mound, this is a great subject that we can dive into, you know, when we're there or more on this show. But here's what we'll see. The moon, unfortunately, it's a, you know, a half moon. So that does give you kind of a competing light in the sky, even after the sun has gone down for a few hours, but the moon will set around 11 p.m. But I'll bring my laser pointer and show some of the constellations that we'll be able to see. But here's the actual line of the zodiac. I'll just bring them in. There's Ophiuchus. We'll be able to see Hercules. That's what it'll look like at the head of the serpent. And then later on, as it gets darker, we'll be able to see all these other constellations coming in. So hopefully we'll be able to see lots of great, you know, stars at night with the laser pointer. I don't know what the cloud activity will be, but hopefully it'll be a brilliant midsummer's night and, you know, the middle of, oh, and there's Draco. So Draco is important. And also Hydra. Look at Hydra down at the bottom. Look at the Serpent Mound. Look at Hydra down below the moon. I've put the lettering in green of Hydra at the sunset on the solstice. Hydra is pretty much pointing right towards the sun. So that's kind of interesting. Can you guys see that?
Yeah.
How many what? There? Yeah, I don't know. It's one, two, three.
Well, you could say three. I mean, it looks like three.
It's got lots of little stars.
I think, though, right? The serpent has four humps.
Well,
it depends on how, but if you count both ends. So Ross Hamilton has a great book about this. I'll show a little bit. Here's what it'll look like a little later at night. Obviously, I've photoshopped in Serpent Mound, but at 9:30, the moon is still in the sky there going down. But we should be able to see Leo, Virgo. Unfortunately, Hydra is below Virgo and is going down, is basically setting. That's just the tail of Hydra sticking up below Virgo there. But this is what we'll be able to see. That's the multiple heads of Scorpio. Ophiuchus, very important. Everybody knows that I think Ophiuchus is one of the most critical constellations for the myths, but we should be able to point out all this to everybody out there. I'll just race through it real quick. These two big birds of the Milky Way, this is Aquila or Aquila, the eagle. It's got kind of three stars, kind of like Orion. And then this little dolphin is a pretty one. We should be able to see that pretty well. These two big birds of the Milky Way, Cygnus the swan, is pointing towards Aquila. Aquila almost looks like a manta ray when you see it in person. And these constellations are really big in the sky. They look small on the screen here. But we'll be able to see all these cool constellations. I'm going to get to these articles real quick, and then I'll be done with my little presentation. There's a Big Dipper. Can't see that in Australia. Prometheus bringing down the fire. Is probably Orion. This is from a little video I did just recently with Ksenia on her channel. But look at this plate I found. This plate shows Prometheus being punished. He's having his liver eaten out by an eagle. And to the left of that plate is Atlas holding up the sky. That's actually Hercules again. But look at the snake right next to Atlas. That's Atlas. That's Prometheus. Pillar. I won't go into all this stuff. You can watch the recent video I did with Ksenia, but that serpent really looks to me like the Serpent Mound. I'm not suggesting, I don't want to get banned, that there's connections, but what I'll say is there's myths around the world that no one can explain how they cross from around the world. There's something more going on in our ancient history than what we know. There's that serpent. Now, that serpent, if Hercules is Atlas, and I've got videos that show Hercules is definitely Atlas, then that serpent is kind of in the position of Draco. Draco is right above Hercules there. And interestingly, that's what Ross Hamilton argues in his book. He lives right next to Serpent Mound, Ross Hamilton. Hopefully he'll be around at the solstice this year. But he wrote this book, Mystery of the Serpent Mound, where he argues that the serpent at Serpent Mound aligns with Draco. And so there's just some interesting potential celestial connections. But this is the controversy part. The conventional academia wants to tell you they've got it all figured out. You know, you can't, if you suggest anything other than the conventional explanation, then you are, you know, false. You're peddling false narratives that have sprung up like weeds around Serpent Mound. So any other narrative is weeds. And basically, it's, you must be either New Age, ridiculous, he calls it, or in putting down the Native Americans, saying they couldn't have built it because he says, you know, he's paraphrasing. Anyone who doesn't believe the conventional narrative is racist, just thinking that the Native Americans couldn't have built it. Well, nobody's saying that. It's just a question of who built it. And frankly, nobody knows. There are, even in the conventional theories, some competing narratives. Well, it appears to have been around 1000 AD, but there's also evidence of the earlier Adena culture in the area. That's, you know, sometime 200 BC or earlier. So they're, even in the conventional narrative, it's not, you don't have to be trying to erase Native Americans to say there's stuff in our history that is mysterious, because there's myths around the world, and I could show a few slides of images from the Americas and images from ancient Greece, ancient Mesopotamia, that shows connections, clear connections. But these articles all basically say you're either on the conventional playbook or you're a New Ager. Well, I'm not a New Ager. I think the New Age is a kind of like a psyop, you know. It's funny down here. So this is talking about the Shawnee Nation, and understandably, they're upset about if New Agers are coming in and saying it's aliens. So they say you're either with the conventional narrative or you're a white nerd. Okay, that's
That sounds kind of racist.
That's a bit offensive, yeah. But look, I think actually we've all had our ancient history stolen from us. I think the ancient myths around the world show that there's something going on that is worldwide that predates the Bible. And so Europeans who have had their ancient history, their ancient myths, their ancient connection to the ancient history erased by the biblical narrative, are looking for something. So anyway, I'm coming across a little disjointed. I probably need another cup of coffee, but this is the controversy. I'll stop share. I'm going to stop sharing. There we go.
It could be both, because it's like every other ancient megalithic site we have. We have stuff built on top of it. Egypt, Peru, all these places, Easter Island, they were clearly making moais that were different from the ones when they first got there. So who's to say that the natives didn't make the mound on top of some other cool stuff they found that, you know, we'll find.
Well, interestingly, there's a, I think, not a fault, but there is a ridgeline there that they built it. Something, they built it there for a reason, for sure. And there's something going on there with the water converging and the ridge line. So it is an interesting connection there, and maybe there is something else deeper.
It's in the middle of a crater,
but I believe they've used right there. It's in the crater, and they have used LIDAR there as well.
When I look at this black and white picture, I was thinking it doesn't even look like a serpent to me. When I look at this one, it looks more like a sperm or something with an egg there. And then when I scrolled up, this was like they showed a hologram revealing another dimension of the serpent mount effigies, like sperm. Is it science and sperm symbolism like that? You know, that's interesting.
I got these.
No, you guys thought of
yeah,
that?
No, I think that's really, I think it's all interesting. It's on the edge of a crater for sure. There's, in fact, even those articles that I threw up on the screen talk about the fact that it's on the edge of this crater where there's a fault. And, you know, some people allege that energies come up through this fault line. It's, I'll share the screen real quick of showing where it is on the edge of this fault. I just have it on, can you see that?
Yep.
So the blue dot on the lower left corner of that red circle, the red circle is the proposed edge of the crater rim, and people can do their own, just do a Google search for Serpent Mound Crater, and you'll see some various aerial photographs of the area. But the Serpent Mound is right on the edge, like you said, Brandon, on the edge of, there's a river confluence, there's a fault line there. You know, in ancient Greek myth or other myths around the world, there's the Delphi temple, the Apollo's temple at Delphi, or sometimes pronounced Delphi, is a serpent crack. There's a wow. crack that goes down to the body of this serpent whose name was Python, that Apollo drove Python down into the crack, and the fumes coming up from the crack of the earth, from the depths, from the fault. Underground gave the inspiration to the goddess or the priestess of Apollo. Her name was the Pythia. She was called that after Python. So anyway, I'll stop sharing, but it's in a very significant place. I'm not suggesting that Native Americans couldn't or didn't make it, but it is, like you said, possible that there's more ancient alignments that it was placed on top of, and also that around the world there are these things called geoglyphs. This is a geoglyph, just like glyph means writing, like hieroglyphics. This is a earth writing, just like the Nazca lines. There are geoglyphs. There are big Ross Hamilton actually has a whole nother book about other geoglyphs in Ohio and in the Americas that are mostly geometric figures of squares and circles with some profound sacred geometry connections. Well, they've found geoglyphs like that now under using LIDAR under the Brazilian rainforest. So this is a phenomenon that is, you know, across the Americas. So which culture actually laid the first groundwork for the geoglyphs, I think is still up in the air and worthy of study. And don't just shut people down and say, oh, you're a new ager if you haven't settled on what we're telling you, or you're a white nerd, you know. Okay, well, I'm just searching.
But there's also something else that shows up on this map here, which is the two dots there, right? The dot to the right and the dot to the left of the if that was like the the pointy part that's going into the egg. Like, do you see the green dot on the left and the right? That's
yes,
too, which is interesting.
Yeah, like a Taurus energy or something.
Yeah.
Speaking of LIDAR, that's the LIDAR Serpent Mount. But so you can see, that's all just one giant earthwork. Looks like it anyway. Like, look at this little thing. Oh, never mind. I think, is this an X or is this like a, almost looks like it, eh?
Yeah, that might be some kind of modern airport or something. That's not an airport, but it might be something. That'd be something to ask Ross Hamilton or Jeff Wilson too. Sorry, I had to move.
I'm interviewing
to
Jeff plug Wilson. In.
Okay,
Jeff
cool.
Intern Jeff Wilson on the main stage, I think, on Saturday.
Yeah, that'll be good. He's super knowledgeable, and he and Delzy, I think, live right next to the Serpent Mound in this beautiful old house that they restored. So I got to, you know, meet him and listen to some of his presentations and stuff at the Serpent Mound. Fantastic, fantastic stuff.
So there's that Serpent Mound again. And then look at this one from Turkey. So the raised tail, four humps, and the big old weird head on the end.
See, I propose that that could be the constellation Hydra, too. I'm not dogmatic about what it is, but I mentioned that there's these geoglyphs around the world. There's two different kinds. I'm not an expert on geoglyphs, but if you look on Wikipedia, it'll say there's a positive geoglyph and a negative geoglyph. Like, you can scrape out the earth to make a negative geoglyph, an indentation, and there's some of those in England. Like, there's this really beautiful horse, I think it's called the Uffington horse or something, from, you know, like Paleolithic times, they think, where they scrape out the surface and get down to the chalk underneath. Or there's a positive geoglyph where they build up a mound, and this one's a positive geoglyph. I think the Nazca lines are actually negative geoglyphs, but they're around the world, and it's like you can hardly see them from the ground. Yeah, there, I think that's the Uffington. Look at that. It's very artistic and cool looking. There's some geoglyphs. There's a whole set of bears called the Marching Bears at a geoglyph. It's called Effigy Mounds National Monument in Illinois. And it's like 200 different geoglyphs, but you can barely see them from the ground. It's like you have to be in a drone to see them.
Yeah, the new
I have a theory, astral projection, like you can see it from your astral body. The way to communicate with people out of body.
If you can just do all that out of body stuff, can't you just like send them a message?
If you can just leave your body, then you can go.
I've been seeing some images of some cool stuff, like looks like just a patch of trees, but when you put the LIDAR in, it's a crazy little star thing underneath or something like that. I mean, it's going to be, I think you can look at most of the USA now on LIDAR.
Yeah, there's the Marching Bears right here. Yeah, LIDAR image of Marching Bears. Yeah, even that star fort on, I think in Florida or somewhere, is amazing on LIDAR. And you can't tell it's a star fort until you look at the LIDAR.
Wow.
So this is one of the biggest, I mean, this is a very large effigy mound. It's a positive effigy mound. They're not all positive, you know, they're not all built up, but, you know, it's a significant site. It's absolutely a sacred site to the Native American nations that are there. I'm not trying to propose anything, hopefully, that's objectionable, but the fact that the myths around the world are based on the stars and are connected in ways that didn't just pop up. That's what I am an expert on. And I can show imagery from Maya cups that it matches the star outline of imagery from ancient Greek or ancient Egyptian, or that shows that something is going on in our humanity's ancient history that the conventional people who want to just say, oh, that's new age bullshit, they're wrong. The people who are writing those kinds of articles that are, you know, putting down anyone who doesn't just buy into the conventional narrative of human history are wrong. There's stuff they cannot explain about our history. So I don't know.
It would be pretty funny if you got kicked out of Serpent Mount because you're like the least
offensive.
The least offensive person I've ever met.
I'm getting more offensive now as I get older. Yeah. I'm getting old and cranky.
Welcome to the rest of it. So you're going to bring your laser. The property is out in the middle of nowhere. I expect there'll be very little light pollution. So I expect we'll be able to maybe even a little less than Duck Creek, because Duck Creek, we're kind of right in the bowl of a bunch of houses, even that kind of where this one, it doesn't look like it's like that. I expect we'll have a pretty dark view of the stars right from base camp there.
And I think it's going to be fantastic. We may have to wait for that moon to go down to really start the star presentations, but yeah.
Well, Brandon, don't have to get up early to run to Zion and Bryce like we had right. on Duck Creek. So it's a good opportunity for people to stay up till 1 or 2 a.m. and be able to sleep till 9 or 10 before they get started.
Yeah, it'll be great. Plus, it's also summer. I mean, it's June, whereas we were in Duck Creek in April. So it's actually some better constellations. Like Scorpio is a striking constellation. It's a beautiful constellation. And we'll be able to see Ophiuchus and Hercules. And those are important mythical constellations. And they'll be right, you know, dead center in the sky. So if the clouds part and the gods are good to us, we'll get to see some good stars.
Your mic's going crazy again. Brandon, what can people expect from you at Contact of the Cabin this year?
Well, we're going to get down with the ceremony. We'll be doing some various practices, breath work. We'd like to start the day off with some breath work. We'll be jumping in the water, and we're going to be doing some exercises that will lift the human spirit, get us oriented for Dave's presentations, for Darren's presentations. Well, I'm looking forward to all of that. The work that I'm into these days has a lot to do with nervous system work and the, you know, I feel like when you're in a sacred space like this, taking advantage of the earth energy, sounds kind of new agey, sounds kind of white new agey, but I do mean it. The earth energy is very powerful there. There was definitely a reason that they picked that spot to place the mound, no question about it. And so taking advantage of the earth energy and, you know, and working our own personal alignments and then the group alignment. I think this is the most important thing. When we all get together, we bring an energy, and that particular energy feeds us all. So it'll be good to get to work with familiar faces and then some new folks as well. And that's what I'm doing. You know, what interests me is why people have continued to come to that space. You know, why, what draws people in? If it's just the mound, that could be one thing, but I do believe that there's something more powerful than that, you know, that underlies all of that. And so I'm interested in experiencing it myself. You know, with shamanism, it's always about the direct experience and having your own personal experience. But then again, merging together, feeling what the group brings. This is my part of the, you know, the whole trip.
You're going to be popping chakras?
I'll be popping some chakras as always.
That's Graham's favorite part. Have you been able to source any adventure sports for us nearby? I mean, I know that there could end up being a little runaway for one day for a little bit. I haven't sourced a spot yet, but we're in the middle of nowhere, Ohio, so it should be easy to go shoot a couple guns. Looks like we're going to do that, break in a new American, not quite an American, but, you know, we'll break them in properly anyway. But I mean, we did snow machines, we did side by sides. Is there anything by there anything exciting?
Absolutely. And I have some really good connections there. I've done a lot of workshops in Ohio, and I have some really good friends there. So I'm going to be tapping into all that and setting us up with some kind of good adventure outside of, you know, the already laid out adventures. But we will find something to get into in regards to, in regards to shooting. Hopefully we'll either be doing that or, you know, there's more exploration around the area. So we will definitely take our day off and be doing something in line with that.
That'll be fun. That'll be a good one. I'm looking forward to it. Graham, you excited?
Yeah. So people are flying into Columbus or Cincinnati?
Columbus.
Okay. Ohio's way more east than I always picture.
Oh yeah, it's forever.
I keep picturing in the center, but
it's further than you think. It's not in the center. Yeah, it's further east than you think.
But closer to, like, now that I'm seeing Charlotte is pretty, you know, south, like North Carolina is closer than I thought.
Yeah, it's got to be pretty.
We have a very beautiful.
Is it right up against New York, pretty much?
It's up against West Virginia.
Yeah. West Virginia. There's a beautiful drive that we take that goes all up through West Virginia, up the Highway 81. Beautiful, nice. Beautiful mountain drive.
Nice.
Those aren't fucking mountains, dude. Are these different from the mountains you took me to?
Well, I mean, they're pretty old mountains. The Appalachian Mountains are... It's an old mountain range.
Beautiful old hills.
Yeah.
I mean, I went to the place in the mountains and we were just out in the hills. It's just, you know, we just have a different take, us Western boys and you Eastern boys, on what a mountain is. But when you say that the Appalachians aren't mountains, man, fucking look out, because the Eastern boys get fucking pissed.
There's some mountains over there. I think there's this theory. I call it the moon smack theory, that the moon actually is like the backsplash of a larger object that hit the Earth around where the Pacific is. And that would explain the big ring of fire all the way around the Pacific and the mountains, you know, the Rocky Mountain type mountains that you've got all along Chile, but they also go through Tasmania and the southern part of Victoria in Australia and up through New Zealand, up through Japan, up through, you know, Kamchatka and Russia, Korea. And then on the other side, like the impact was, so it was like a big bullet going into the earth. The impact made the kind of ripples on the other side. I don't know, but it's a really interesting theory that this New Zealand researcher has put out. Nice. Hopefully I'm not scratching too much with the microphone as I wave my hands around.
Yeah, a little bit. Pretty bad. Yeah, you should not do that, but it's okay.
So look at this view of where it lands, the mound. So look at this, all this rough patch here in West Virginia, Kentucky. That's not the Appalachians, is it? That,
yes.
Whatever. See all those ridges? See all those ridges? Like they're parallel.
It happens to be right on the edge of all that. See all that? And there's the Serpent Mountain right on the edge of it. Or is that just all forest and stuff? Or what?
That's forest. You're actually.
Yeah, you'd have to look at the terrain map, but I do see what you're saying, Graham. It looks like the terrain map would show that that's on the edge of some ridges there, maybe an old inland sea.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's pretty far off of those mountains, actually. I'm going to steal the screen for a second and go to Volcano Sim Map.
I was hoping you were going to go to that.
Take a look at this, Dave. This is our map, volcanosim.com.
Awesome.
Simulationmaps.com. But you can follow this sort of ridge. These are all volcanoes, all those little dots. And you can go around the world, and they're kind of all over the place. But especially sort of follow them like around here.
Like where Dave was talking
about. Where Dave was saying there seems to be like a huge, giant circle of volcanic activity. that sort of comes through there.
Yeah, there's a website. This is a really cool simulation and very, very worthwhile to explore that. There's this website that people can check out called preearth.net, preearth. And this researcher talks about this moon smack. He doesn't call it moon smack. I just use that kind of for shorthand. It makes a lot of sense, some of the things that he talks about. But if the Earth absorbed some other body and then expanded, the continents don't have to actually drift. It's like the Earth expanded. The continents kind of stayed where they were, but broke apart as the Earth got bigger. And he says, well, that's kind of why we have these fossils of things like pterodactyls, which were so big, they couldn't fly today. They're too big. But maybe if the Earth was a little smaller before this thing smacked into it, you know, it's kind of like an expanding Earth type of a theory. It expanded once. I don't know. It's really interesting website, preearth.net.
Well, that's all the newest. The interesting, I mean, I'm not a physicist, but it's like if it did absorb something, would it then just come into it? Because it would seem like all those Pacific rifts and the Atlantic rifts are all the newest material. It seems to be growing from there.
Yeah. I think it's pretty clear something catastrophic happened in our past. In that ring of fire, something happened there. Whether it was exactly like this moon smack theory proposes, I'm not sure. But we've had catastrophes. And
I think... all the time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. More often than we think. It's not as stable as the last couple hundred years would have us believe.
Yeah. So you've got a volcano one and a flood one, or are they both the same app?
Volcano one, flood one, shipwreck one, UFO one. We're the map guys. Simulationmaps.com.
Here's his map with 120 meters, so 400 feet, 360 feet less water. And there's the ice sheets up there, North America.
So do you have a crop circle one?
No, because crop circle one.
Okay. Because actually, look, I'm not an expert on crop circles, but you should ask Jeff Wilson when you talk to him.
On crop circles because they're fake.
Well, Jeff Wilson's an expert on crop circles. He's... So, well, I was skeptical of crop circles too, but he was showing me this presentation of like all these, stalks of grain that are cut like halfway through with a laser, like all the way down. I'm not saying
talking about specifically in Ohio.
Well, he's had some crop circles right around the Serpent Mound. So
yeah,
I don't know what I'm sure many crop circles are fake. But some crop circles might be some kind of phenomenon. I don't know. It's not my area of study, but it's interesting that you have a UFO map, because I was reading this article talking about the UFO groupings don't necessarily suggest craft flying in from far away. It's more.
Well, I mean, we got to add the crop circles now. I mean,
now you got to add crop circles.
No, there's no point.
There's no point. See, even Graham is disillusioned. Graham, got so upset. The first faker maker we interviewed, I just like reposted that interview a few weeks ago, and the guy is like taking it personally that this guy's making fake crop circles. Then by the last one, he's, you know, we should make a crop circle.
I'm agnostic on crop circles.
Here's all the UFO sightings. I agree with you, Dave. Some are real and some are fake. That's my opinion. So, but what were you trying to say, that they're not all coming from the sea and stuff, Dave? Is that what you're thinking? Because there's a lot of them by Catalina Island over here. This Catalina Island.
Yeah, Catalina Island is where they found
Catalina Island. There's like three. I mean, I'm sure you can find an island with more examples than those three on fucking Catalina Island.
But look at these old skeletons.
Look at these old, these ones are cigar-shaped, three cigar-shaped sightings around this island back in the 50s and 60s. I think that's, and there's a military base there, naval facility.
Look, I'm not a UFO, a big UFO student either, but I read this article just recently. It was fairly extensive, and it was saying there are aspects of the UFO phenomenon that seem to resemble attachment of entities, kind of like when a whole bunch of scientists came from around the or experts or researchers came to the Skinwalker Ranch, they found that sightings then followed them home.
The hitchhiker effect.
The hitchhiker effect. Well, that it doesn't, like, aliens visiting from the Pleiades doesn't really explain the hitchhiker. Why would they follow some dude back to England just because he visited the Skinwalker Ranch? So this article proposed, well, it actually went back and cited a work from the 1930s by this French, or this researcher named René Guénon. He's fairly famous. I guess I'll have to go read this book where he talked about it. He said, it may be that the ancient ways, the ancient patterns that we used to have, we had certain rituals that kind of kept up the building that we live in, the metaphysical building that we live in. And yeah, if we stop repairing those cracks, the entities that come through the cracks at the lowest levels, those are going to be the ones you don't necessarily want. That if you don't keep these rituals going. Well, I found that very interesting because the modern materialist paradigm says, yeah, maybe UFO sightings, maybe some of them are, you know, the secret space program, but maybe some of them are entities that are slipping through the cracks because we've lost our connection with the ancient myths. I said, wow, here's where my research on the ancient myths and my arguments that we've lost this important connection and the UFO phenomenon may have some points in contact.
Yeah, I mean, the guy, one of the missing guys was in a book, and the book talks about these things appearing in our skies are like ceremonial magic from, you know, other dimensions. It's pretty interesting to me.
Where's
the Serpent Mound on here then? So it's close to
it's right close to the Kentucky border, actually. Can you see the state borders?
Portsmouth, close to Portsmouth, Jackson. No, it must be over this way more. Like Columbus. Jackson. There's Columbus and Cincinnati, right?
Yeah, so it's going to be down.
It's got to be like around here.
South and east.
Need to search. Need to be able to search. Who made this piece of shit?
I'm looking for sightings around the mound.
Mound sightings. I've had a couple mound sightings in my day. All right, before we wrap up, Dave, give us a couple minutes on where people can find your stuff and why they should come to Serpent Mound.
Awesome. Well, you've already said it. The vibe or the energy or the spirit at these things is just, you can't replicate it. You guys put on a great event, but you also have great community of Grimericans around the world who it's a special spirit. It's a special vibe. It's a special community. You guys attract a fantastic crowd. I mean, hello to everyone who's listening. It sounds like Bruce is out there. Thanks for all the beers, Bruce. Just at the end, like you always say, Darren, you're going to be crying and hugging and wishing it wasn't over. That's the way it always is at these things. You can find my stuff at undyingstars.com. I do have some online courses in the celestial mechanics and the myths. I was going to show exactly what causes an equinox, equinoxes and solstices, but maybe I'll do that there. It's just a great get together with people where you're just allowed to ask all these questions and no one's going to ban you from Grimerica. I'm sorry to hear that Graham has been banned. But imagine, you know, in our day-to-day lives, it's like you can't always just talk about this in the workplace or wherever. It's just nice to get together with a bunch of people and be able to talk about whatever. And no one's going to say, well, I mean, maybe they will, but it's a great spirit. So I'm looking forward to seeing you guys reconnecting and checking out the Serpent Mound this solstice.
And then Bay Area.
I second that.
Assassin school.
What'd you say, Darren? Sorry.
What about your Bay Area assassin school? Do you want to plug that quick?
Oh yeah. Well, if you're in the Bay Area, look, Brandon is a master jujitsu, man. I've been studying Southern Chinese martial art since 1992, so 34 years now. I was 22 when I first found it. It's called Wing Chun. It's pretty famous, but there's lots of different people online who tell you this, that, and the other. I'm from a really special lineage of Wing Chun that I really feel strongly about preserving. It's something that it's changed my life, and I, you know, find it as like an endless source of, there's always more to learn. How we connect with the ground and how our human body is put together, just like the Serpent Mound, we're connecting with the earth. So I started a Kung Fu school here in the Bay Area in Los Altos, near where I come back home to be closer to my parents as they're getting older. And Ksenia is here with me, and I started a Kung Fu school in Los Altos. So if you're in the Bay Area, come check it out. And that's called Street Defense Applied Wing Chun, or you can look on Instagram. I think it's Applied Wing Chun Los Altos. But you can just find my Instagram, and then I think some of the posts I linked to the other Instagram. But you can find that at streetwingchun.com, streetwingchun.com. Check that out. Thanks.
Grounded.
Well, I second everything Dave said. These are great events. that's why I keep coming back. I love presenting. I love being there. The energy is always awesome. It's like a part learning experience, part party. We never lack for a good time. The things that I think, you know, if you're looking for like-minded people, and you have these types of, you know, interest, this is the event for you. We, you know, obviously with you boys being in Canada, it's always great to have you in the States. You guys get to go everywhere. I think you picked an amazing place with the Serpent Mound. Hopefully this will bring us back more than once. I'm looking forward to, I always enjoy being with Dave. I learned so much. You know, for me, it's amazing that I get to come and present my work, but I always end up learning from everybody there. I love seeing all the faces. I hope Nikki's listening. I'm looking forward to seeing you, Nikki, as always. The dude is the man. You know, there's always new folks that I get to meet, but, you know, the big thing for me is, you know, ultimately, is the experience, just the direct experience, and being able to live in the moment for these, you know, these experiences. They go by so quickly. You know, you get there, you get to have the experience, but, you know, it's always tough to leave. It's always a, it feels like a family. And so I never pass up the chance personally. The things that if you're looking for me, you can find me online. I'm on Instagram. My school is called the Dojo Arts. I live in Charlotte, North Carolina. I've been teaching jujitsu for about 20 years here. You know, I try to bring everything that I've been involved in for years. There's going to be, I'm sure there's going to be some karaoke. We'll blow this thing up, man. We always do. You know, a lot of times I don't know what to expect until I get there, but then everything falls into place almost immediately. Darren and Graham are great hosts. They have a lot of knowledge, lots of stuff to share. I'll be interested to hear Darren's lectures and the interview that you're going to be doing there. And yeah, I mean, I could go on and on, but it's just the best. It's a great event.
Could be a total train wreck yet. This will be my first time and do it on stage with a. I do need a good laser pointer. I guess I could. I just use the green one, Dave.
Yeah, as long as I'll probably have to fly this time, just because I'm running a business during the week. But as long as it gets there safely. So anyone who's driving there, if you could bring a backup laser, Brandon. I was actually going to
use it as
that.
A pointer, though. Have you used it? As
oh
a
man,
pointer?
It's pretty powerful. I've got some other ones that aren't that powerful. I'll throw a bunch of different laser pointers in. But are you guys driving or flying?
Flying.
Yeah, I think they're all fine.
Graham might drive. He was talking about driving still. I was going to drive. I looked at it. It was 28-hour drive. I was like, nah.
Yeah, we'll get some laser pointers there. They're not illegal. We just got to use them properly and not do anything stupid. So if you can,
they're not illegal. They're just frowned upon.
Not call any UFOs in or anything like that.
That's Graham's department. Graham, do you want to add anything to what the boys had to say?
No, I mean, what they said, great trips, great people. It's just always fun to hang out.
Right on. We hope you will enjoy it and join us. Of course, it's June 19th to 23rd out of Columbus, Ohio. You get there. We'll take care of the rest for the 4 days, get you back to the airport. Contact at thecabin.com. Come with us. It'll be a blast. Of course, we have some other great events coming out with Randall Carlson in the fall, Malta in the spring. Easter Island again, 2028. So some good stuff on the horizon. Check out grammaticaoutlaw.ca for the podcast. Contact at thecabin.com again for trips and events. Adultbrain.ca for audiobooks and all that sort of fun stuff, ebooks. And simulationmaps.com is what we were just talking about here. If you want to check out all those different simulators we made, including the UFO maps, maybe we'll add some crop circles. Maybe we won't. Let us know what you want to see. Other than that, we love you guys. Thanks for listening. And we will see you next week. So many cigarettes.
Thank you.